Well, we're going to set today apart for a day of testimonies, shares, and intercessions. That's right. Intercessions. Praise the Lord. So, you know, it's a good thing to always, always give praise to the Lord. It's a good thing to always stand in the gap as well, you know, for one another, praying for one another. The Bible says, according to the writings of Paul, you know, first of all, he said, well, you know, let prayers, you know, supplications and intercessions be made for all men with thanksgiving as well. So today, if you have anyone that we know that's in the need of prayer, we're going to stand in the gap for them. And as well, we want to hear some testimonies today. And we also have opportunity to do some more shares. Today is Friday. Let's enjoy the fellowship. The last few days, we've been doing the Parables of the Kingdom series. And yesterday we did some shares. But I would still like to see if other people would like to share. But we have room for testimony as well. I know Sister Veronica was trying to give her testimony when we were leaving the room yesterday. I don't see her here yet. But when she gets here, I'm sure she'll have that testimony. Perhaps you have a testimony as well. It's an opportunity to give praise and testimony to the Lord. I know it's early. People generally wait for me to speak or run the room for an hour plus before they are ready to speak. But the Bible does say you should be ready, instant, in season, and out of season. So, you know, we can change things up in the room at any time. Don't assume that it's going to be an hour before it's your time to speak, you know. So be ready at all times. So it's testimony time. And we can praise the Lord with our testimonies. Why do we give testimonies? Let's talk about that for just a minute. Well, first of all, it is for the glory of God. And we use it to give glory to God for whatever it is the Lord has done. You know, Jesus healed 10 lepers. One of them only returned to give praise to the Lord. And Jesus said, where are the nine? There be not found those that return to give glory to God, but this stranger. It happened that the one that actually returned was a stranger. Well, you know, let's not be like that. Let's always return to give praise to the Lord. Again, it is actually God's testimonies, and we don't want to steal his thunder. You know, so when we give the testimony, we make sure we give the praise to the Lord. It is his testimony. He's the one that did the thing that we are thankful for. He did it. So we give him glory accordingly. In case you are wondering, you can read that in Psalm 19 and verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Commandment of the Lord is sure, enlightening the eyes. Another reason we give testimony is to actually use it to bash in the head of the devil. That's right. You heard me. Use it to bash in the head of the devil. Because according to the book of Revelation chapter 12, we are told that they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So your testimony can be a powerful weapon in your hand. And we don't need to wait until we see that everything is over before we give a testimony. Well, in that case, it's not a weapon. It's still good for praise, but to use it as a weapon, then you have to use it, you know, while the battle is going on. And it becomes a weapon in your hands. That's right. So your testimony can be used to help you overcome the devil. Praise the Lord. You know, and then what about prayers and intercessions for others. Well, many scriptures talk about us praying for one another, but in particular, God himself always looking for people, you know, that can stand in the gap and intercede for one another. And when the Lord is looking, well, sometimes he will find and sometimes he will not find. But let's make sure the Lord finds. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 22, the Lord tells us in verse 30 that he is looking for someone to make up the hedge, you know, and to stand in the gap. You know, how do we do that? Well, when we know that someone, our brother or sister, have a need, well, you make up the hedge. You know, sometimes, you know, maybe something's broken and then we need to fix it. You know, so it is important for us to stand in the gap before the Lord on behalf of others. So that's why we do it. You know, again, you know, we ourselves must individually make sure that, you know, no hedge is broken around our lives. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 8, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. So that hedge of protection must remain in place. Don't break it, so the serpent won't get any chance. And so we surround our brothers, you know, with a hedge of protection through prayer, through covering, you know, cover them with prayer and so forth, you know. So making up the hedge and standing in the gap is something that we should be doing for one another all the time and from time to time. Praise the Lord. So today we're going to do some of that. I'm just giving you a prelude, you know, to the things that we're going to be doing today. And there were a few times that God actually found, you know, some people that knew how to do that. Examples of great intercessors that stood before the Lord and interceded. Moses was such a man. Abraham was such a man. I mean, there was even one time that Abraham stood before the Lord and, you know, was kind of negotiating with the Lord, but it was powerful. God said, look, the iniquities of Sodom and Gomorrah have come before me and it's time to judge them. And Abraham remembered that his nephew was over there and he stood before the Lord and started to ask the Lord, will the Lord judge the righteous even with the wicked? The Lord said, no. I said, okay, well, if you find 50 people there that are righteous. Well, Abraham's hope was that the whole time that Lot has been there, maybe he has gotten some converts. I mean, maybe he will find, I mean, some people that have become righteous along with him. You know, he said 50. The Lord said, well, if I find 50 there, I will not destroy the place. So Abraham is thinking, well, maybe they didn't find 50. So what about 45, Lord? If you find 45, will you destroy the place? Because the place is 5 less than 50 that you found. I said, no, if I find 45, I'll spare the place. Abraham said, okay, now, Lord, hold on. Suppose we don't have 45. Suppose we have 40. Will the God of the whole earth punish and destroy the whole place? Even though there are 40 people there and 5 short of 45. And he just started arguing and presenting his case. And I said, no, I won't do it for 40. Then he went to 30 and so on and so forth. Finally, he got down to 10. I said, well, what about if it was just 10? In his mind, he's probably still thinking, well, if, I mean, Lot went there. There were 8. I'm sure there are 2 more people that God will spare the place for. And, you know, so he said 10. He said, I will not do it before 10. But God is going to rain down punishment over that place. And Lot moved on. Abraham moved on. But you see, at least the process, even though Abraham did not succeed in getting grace for the entire place, well, he at least got his family out. But you see how he stood before the Lord. He just prayed and prayed and prayed. You know, Moses one time, I mean, he stood before the Lord, and the Lord was so angry with the children of Israel, he wanted to destroy them all. You know, and but you know, Moses stood in the gap. He said, well, I mean, if you're going to do that, what do you think the people will say that heard about all your great acts in Egypt? I mean, how that you brought out your people with a great hand and they feared your name because of that. Now, if you just destroy these same people that you brought out, those people are going to say, well, you know, he could not sustain them. That's why he destroyed them. So what are you going to do now? You know, and he said, let it not be so before the Lord. You know, try to pacify the anger of the Lord, you know. And he stood in the gap. He even laid his own life on the line. He said, look, if you are that angry that you are going to destroy these people, then destroy me instead. And the Lord said no. But the Lord had mercy nonetheless. You can see how people, powerful prayers, how people can, you know, stand in prayer for, you know, their brethren, and how God can do great things. In the book of Acts chapter 12, we see that, you know, we're told that Herod at that time chose to vex certain of the church. It's like the devil decided to vex the church. Sometimes we have a lot of vexings. Different things just happen to different people in their lives. And they're just pummeled and, you know, afflicted by different things from the devil. And Herod put forth his hand and grabbed James and killed him. My goodness. I mean, are you kidding me? And it took the church, you know, unawares actually, you know, they were not prepared for that. And then the next thing, when Herod saw that, you know, that killing of James pleased the crowd, he wanted to do the same thing, grab a hold of Peter as well. Put him in and say, well, you know, after this feast, I'm going to bring him out, kill him before the people, you know, so he can get some acclaim. Well, this time around, the church was wiser. They are now on their watch. They're not going to let that, you know, people say once bitten, twice shy. Well, the church was not going to allow this time. So they gathered together and began to pray all night long. They were praying. And would you believe that the Lord sent an angel to release Peter? That's right. Bound and behind bars and gates and everything. That didn't make the Lord any difference. The Lord sent an angel, broke him out anyhow. Praise the Lord. You know, so, but it was because of the prayers, you know, of the people. So that's why we pray for one another. You know, pray for one another. It's a good thing to always, you know, pray for one another. And it's a good thing to ask for prayer as well. You know, if you are in need of prayer, ask. And don't stay away. Some people have the wrong habit nonetheless, of staying away when they are going through stuff. When they're going through stuff and they're all really overwhelmed and sad and so on, so, you know, they stay away, and it leads into depression, unfortunately. You know, however, you know, cheerful words from a friend can actually lift you up. prayer from brethren, and absolutely blow that thing back. But, you know, so we all have responsibilities for that. We have responsibility, you know, to pray for one another. We also have responsibility to ask for prayers. If you don't ask and people don't know, I mean, not all of us know everything all the time. Sometimes God may reveal that someone is going through stuff, you know, but sometimes the Lord doesn't reveal. And, you know, but what then do we do if the Lord doesn't reveal? You know, there's a story about Elisha, and there was this, you know, this woman who, you know, he had prayed for or given a blessing to receive a child. The woman initially said, look, you know, don't deceive me, because, you know, she probably been prayed for or spoken to many times and she didn't have a child. But she was someone that was always kind to Elisha, even set him a small place for him to stay anytime he passed by, gave him a table and a lamp and everything. And so one day Elisha said, well, you know, you will have a child. Well, she did have a child. And one day the child died, you know. And the woman went to look for the man of God. You know her story. This is the woman that said, it is well, even when the child was dead. She kept saying, it is well. Her husband asked her, where are you going? She just said, well, I'm going to the man of God. Well, why? Well, it is well. You know, so she went. Everybody knows the story. And, but the part of the story that I want to bring out, you know, was when she was going to the man of God, when she came to the man of God, let's read this part of the story in 2 Kings chapter 4. And when she came to the man of God, verse 27, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord had hid it from me and had not told me. See, now that's a prophet. I mean, this man, he saw a lot of things. This was the man that used to actually tell of all the plans of the Syrians. He would tell it to the king of Israel, and they would forfeit him and just forfeit their plans. Whatever Syria was planning, Elisha would tell it to the king of Israel. Until the point that, you know, Syria said, look, who among us is betraying us to our enemies? And one little girl said, well, nobody's betraying, but there is a prophet in Israel. Anything you say, a plan in your chambers, this man knows it and he tells it. And that's why they are escaping out of your hands. Say, oh, you know, then they plan to go and get him. You know the story. But in this case, the Lord did not tell this prophet what this woman was going through. He knew nothing about it. You know, so, you know, we can't expect that, you know, people always know what we are going through if you don't say anything. You know, this is what I'm trying to bring out. So we all have responsibility to pray for one another, but we also have responsibility to ask for prayers. Some people are good at it, asking for prayer and trusting God and believing that, you know, the prayers of the saints will help them get over whatever the issue is. Others are not that good. They keep it to themselves. You know, brethren may not find out until weeks or months later that they're going through. And, you know, you can't. I mean, we don't know if you don't tell. You know, so, but it's our responsibility to pray for one another. So even if you don't know what's going on with somebody, you know, you can pray for them. If you haven't heard from them in a while, just pray for them. Pray that it is well with them. And I often encourage people, reach out to them. You know, this is the what's called the body ministry. You got to reach out. We got to pick up the phone if you have their phone number, call them. You know, the words that they hear from you on that day might be like, you know, pouring water on a thirsty ground. And it might just be the thing that they need. You know, that word from you, the encouragement to say, oh, how you doing? I haven't heard from you in a bit. I thought I'd just check in. You know, and that may be the thing that will save the day. Yeah, but as much as it lies within us, let us pray for one another. So that's just a quick lesson, if you want to call it that, on you know, what we're going to be doing today, both testimonies and prayers for one another. Praise the Lord. Now, especially as we see the day approaching, the days are evil. We should pray even more, because you never know, you know, what the devil is going to throw at people. The intent of the devil right now is to wear out the saints. And in some cases, he's actually succeeding, unfortunately. But we've got to get together in stronger bands of prayers. Make sure the devil doesn't succeed. You know, and prayer here, we're not talking of just praying for yourself only. Yeah, pray for yourself is good. You must pray for yourself. You must pray for your children. But that's not all. We must pray for one another. You know, some people only pray for themselves, their spouse and their children. That's it. You know, no, that's not it. Who is my brother? Who is my sister? Who is my mother? Jesus said. And he looked around. So, well, these ones here, that hear the word of God and do it. They are my mother, my brother, and my sister. So everyone that's with you on this platform, that's hearing the word of God, fellowshipping with us daily, these are your brothers and your sisters. And when you are praying for your spouse, praying for your children, these are your brothers. And you must pray. And, you know, Samuel actually said something that was profound. You know, I don't know if, you know, anybody has ever thought of this thing that Samuel said. You know, he called it a sin if you don't pray for one another. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. You know, so this is how serious he took it. He took his responsibility very seriously of praying, you know, for one another. You know, and he said, you know, people said, you know, unto Samuel, pray for thy servants, unto the Lord, that we die not, and so on and so forth. You know, and they were telling him. I said, well, yeah, I've been praying for you, you know. And he told them, he said, look, moreover, as for me, in verse 23, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. So it might actually be a sin if you are not praying for your brothers and your sisters. This is what Samuel is saying here. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord. See, actually sin against the Lord if we're not praying for one another. There was one man with a sharp mouth. I think it was the son of the devil, actually. You know, he came out there. He said, where, you know, the Lord said, where's your brother? But the Lord knew what he had done. Yeah, I said, wow, am I my brother's keeper? You know, the Lord, Jesus called him out later on. He said, you know, he was of that wicked one. You know, how in the world did he know how to kill somebody? There's no such thing in the world at that time. But there was a son of the devil, you know, and he killed his brother. And he wouldn't, you know, had the audacity to tell God that, you know, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are your brother's keeper. And we should be one another's keepers. That's what Samuel is saying here. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord, you know, in ceasing to pray for you. So, it might be a sin against the Lord if we don't pray for one another. You know, let's practice taking time to pray for one another. You know, everybody prays every day. You know, most people pray for themselves and pray for their families. Well, I'm telling you now that these your brethren, these are your family. And so add them into the mix when you're doing your prayers. Jesus, when he was on the cross, he looked at his mom. He looked at John. He said, well, John, this is your mother. Woman, this is your son. You know, and he just kind of, you know, put them together in connection like that. He was still looking out for them, looking out at this time. He wanted John to take care of his mom. And he wanted the mom to look out for John as well. He cared about both of them deeply. And they were right there by the cross. They stood right there with him. And so he put that out. And John actually did care for the woman. He wrote her some letters. You can read that letter in the second epistle of John that he wrote. There were many other things historically, you know, that went on. But this is one letter that he wrote unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also those that have known the truth. Yeah, he wrote that letter to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And, you know, but pray for one another, you know. Look out for one another. That's what Jesus was trying to say there. So let's do that. We're going to do that. We're going to do some of that today. And in the next few minutes, I'm going to call for some prayers, some of which I am aware of myself. And then we'll take prayers, as we call them prayer requests or prayer point or whatever, that you may have or be aware of as we stand in the gap for one another. We're going to do that. Then we'll leave plenty of time also for shares and also for testimonies. But first, you know, let's pray for one another. Now, if one person can chase 1,000 and 10 can chase, I mean, 2 can chase 10,000, then you can just imagine how powerful our prayers can be if we pray in unity. Unity is very important when we pray. You know, it's, you know, your mind should not be here and there when we pray. Especially when we're praying for brethren that are going through stuff. You know, don't be like the Achan in the midst, you know, who's completely opposite to, you know, what the generality of people have been told to not touch the evil thing, but he would, you know, he went behind and did it. And the whole people were in disarray because of one man's issues. So let's be in unity. It's a beautiful thing when we are there. In fact, the psalmist put it this way, said, how beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Well, I like to add my own. How beautiful it is for brethren to look out for each other and to pray, you know, for one another. You know, so let's read that very short Psalm, Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And I might say, well, how good and pleasant is it for brethren to care for one another and to look out for each other and to pray for one another. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. It is as the dew of Hermon, and it's as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. You know, those dew that we're talking about here was always, that dew was always so refreshing, bringing life to vegetation that was dying. And your prayers can do just that. For there, notice, in that place of unity, in that place of togetherness and caring for one another and looking after each other and praying for one another and asking after each other. In that place is where the Lord commanded the blessing. Even life forevermore. I mean, so you can see all kinds of good things that can come, you know, when we are intentional about praying for others. You don't need to be an intercessor or a prayer warrior. Those are labels that people put on things. Everybody can do prayers for one another. It's not just, oh, I'm a prayer warrior. Oh, I'm an intercessor. Oh, I'm not. You know, everybody can do it. And we are commanded to do so, actually. You know, so today we are going to do that. You know, I just gave, you know, this short exhortation to encourage us to do these things, you know, because this is what the Lord commanded us to do. Hallelujah. Prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, you know, and so forth for people. When you stand in the gap, there was a story told about Job and all the things that he went through. You know, the end of the matter with Job was that, you know, the Lord turned, told his captivity in Job chapter 42 and verse 10. All the negative things, you might call it captivity of negativity that was upon him, the Lord turned it around when he prayed for his friends. That's Job chapter 42 and verse 10. The Lord turned his captivity around when he prayed for his friends. At first, they were arguing and fighting among each other, accusing him and he trying to defend himself and saying things back and forth. But when he finally said, okay, well, he started to pray for those people that were tongue lashing him. They actually did tongue lash him. You know, prayed for them sincerely from his heart. Then God turned his own situation around. Isn't that enough reason for us to learn that we should pray for others? God might just turn your situation around when you start to pray for others. Praise the Lord. You know, so let us make it a habit of praying for one another. And there are different kinds of prayers. You know, there are prayers, then there are supplications, then there are intercessions, and then there are giving of thanks. And all these things are called for that we should do, you know, according to the word of God. We're commanded in prayer to do these things. First of all, Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Well, you know, it is important. That's why I call it first of all. First of all, you know, let me tell you that prayers, he said, supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks should be made for all men, and so on and so forth. And I said, well, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. So we're going to go into prayers right now. I want you to stand in the gap for somebody. You know, look around the room. There's somebody to your left, somebody to your right. Somebody might be to above you. As you look at the screen, somebody might be below. There's people all around. Begin to call their names. You can see their name at the bottom of their picture. So don't say you don't know their name. You can begin to call their name and begin to pray for them. And then again, cast your mind's eye to people who are not here. And you can begin to pray for them as well. So we're going to take the first segment of this room today. It's going to be that. Praise the Lord. Then we'll come back for testimonies and some more shares. So right now, let me lead off the prayer by saying, we thank thee, Lord God of heaven and earth. Thou that sitteth between the cherubims, we praise you. Ah, thou who openeth your hands and satisfies the desires of every living thing. It's all there in his hands. We give you praise and give you glory, Lord. You know, thou who commands and it stands fast. Thou who speaks and it is done. Unto you, Lord, be praise and glory. Unto you shall the prayer be directed. And our prayer is being directed to you this morning. Let the ears of the Lord be open and incline thine ears, O Lord, to the prayers of thy servants, which we pray unto you this day, even in this place, concerning our brethren and concerning one another. And let it be so that when the Lord will hear these prayers, it will be like unto a sweet smelling savor unto him, that the Lord will arise, cause his enemies to be scattered from before him in the name of Jesus. Lord, you have said in your word that you will contend to those that contend with us. And there are many forces that are contending with us these days, you know, trying to pummel your people down, bring us into disappointments, to regrets, into, you know, various things. And sometimes even, you know, people begin to go into depression. Oh, we pray, Lord, that we know you have the power to break that. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, anointed me to break that. That's right. Break that depression. Break that brokenheartedness and so forth. Bring healing to everybody. Jesus, Lord, we thank you. As the brethren pray for one another right now, I pray that these words of prayers that will go forth one for another in this room today, Bible says the Lord will hear it. Hallelujah. The Lord will hear it. May the Lord hear our prayers and hear us in the day of this cry that we cry unto the Lord today for our brethren. Our brethren that are in distress. Now, in this prayer, you're praying for somebody else. And don't worry about yourself. The Lord will take care of you because somebody else in this room will be praying for you as well. So we're going to be praying for one another. I pray, Lord, as we do this, we see a precedent in the Bible that you, when Job prayed for his friends, and you turned his own situation around. Now, every situation, God is ready to change and rearrange different things in our lives here today as we follow and obey this simple instruction from the Lord. Pray for one another. Thank you, Jesus. We pray, Lord, that everyone will be able to put on the garment of prayer. Even right now, strap on the girdle of prayer and let's go to battle for one another. Thank you, Jesus. Knowing that the Lord himself is sitting at the right hand of the throne of power forever, making intercessions for us. Thank you, Jesus. And Holy Ghost also making intercessions for us. Sometimes even with groanings that we can't even comprehend. So, Lord, we thank you for hearing us. Now, we cover the prayers that will be prayed here this morning with the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we cover our brothers and our sisters with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you pray this morning, let me throw out one or two names. And as you know, we've been praying for Brother Raphael for a while. He's been a very solid member of this house, you know, for a few years. And he's had this issue with his eyes. You know, I was thinking about it the other day. There's just too much poking into his eyes. I mean, it's like, you know, this surgery and then that surgery. I mean, how much can the eyes take? You know? But we thank God that finally it looks like this last set of procedures they've done, whereas the others were temporary. And he didn't know at the time that all those ones that were going on in Canada were temporary. Well, he has done some procedures now, which they believe will be permanent, and that's going to be our prayers, you know. And can you imagine having surgery done in both eyes? How are you going to be able to see? He is seeing, the eyes are clearing, but still cloudy, giving him many weeks for recovery. But we want to pray that the Lord will hasten that and bring his vision back fully, and that this thing, according to Proverbs 28, 3 and 18, surely there is an end to this thing. I'm going to pray that, look, enough of these surgeries up and down every day, you know. So lift him up in prayer. Lift up others in prayer as well. Remember our sister whose birthday is today. We announced that at the beginning, our sister Pearl. Remember others who may be going through. Sometimes people are not in the room here because they are going through. It could be also be that, you know, maybe their job schedule or whatever. But, you know, you never can tell. So let's pray for one another. All right, let's open it up for prayers. Begin to open your mouth and call upon the name of the Lord. We can do that now. Prayers in Jesus' name. Look to the left, look to the right. Begin to pray for them.
Lord God Almighty, that made the heavens and the earth, that created this vision,
lift your eyes, pray for those who are dead, in the name of Jesus,
Everybody that is under any stress and under any stress,
meet them at the point of
their
Oh, pray for everyone in the show. Lord, we ask your God and your hand will rest upon us. Father, more than ever before, Lord, we invest in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said that all the things
Lord, be the glory and the lifted up of their heads. In the name of Jesus, let the lines be falling upon them, Lord, and on them.
I pray for Sister Jane. I cover her with the blood of Jesus. I pray that she can recover her
fullness. The glory of
with my wife, everyone, everything in your body and your mind.
Where was Sister Nina? Well, with all our brethren, it is well, it is well, it is well. Well, we ask you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Cover these prayers with the blood of Jesus. Lord of Jesus, we stand in the gap. Stand, make up the hedge for them, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Santo Bakarabasin, thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, brother, our sister, our their children, Lord, many of them come on this. In the name of Jesus, pray for Brother Roland, who is well with him, Brother Joseph, who is well with him. We pray for Sister Tisha, Lord, it is well with her. And then pray for Sister Risha as well, who's well with her, and Amina. In the name of Jesus, Sireketa Baruka Shediri Labosaka, Toriba Luka, Subayi. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. Pray for everybody else that we may not have remembered to mention by name. Lord, I speak in the Holy Ghost for the encounter. Shanti Baruka Sailanaka and Riasatui. Kaitani Bakuyan Alikas Alexis. It is well, it will be smooth. The angel of the Lord is I pray for everybody, Lord, that's going through sickness or disease. People are doing tests and waiting for results. The answer of peace in the name of Jesus. Arakote Sharabakuri. What I pray for princess, Lord. Makokeri Mashandara.
Oh, thank you. Oh my God. Look, I'm going to have to hide this from the fire tree.
Sandala Kundiri Abashi. Raboshe terene bosa tabaru shikani dabaru sande. In the name of Jesus, blessed be God. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
thank you so much for praying. You know, you prayed for your brethren from all your heart, and I believe that the Lord will answer your prayers, and it will turn your own situation. Holy Spirit is here, rearranging destinies, changing lives. That's what He does. Does it best, especially when we pray for another. Jesus said, Peter, the devil has desired to have you and sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when you are yourself converted and settled, now you pray for others as well. Strengthen your own brethren too. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we thank God. You receive the admonition today to pray for one another. We know what to do. And, we'll do it not just when you are in this room, in your private times as well. We called out the need already today to do that. Not just for your spouse, not just for your children, but for all your brethren. Name them one by one as the Holy Spirit bring them to mind. And let's pray for one another. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for praying today. Well, there were a few things we wanted to do today. Celebrate the one that is celebrating her birthday, Sister Pearl. I still don't see her here. We wanted to give testimonies, and we wanted to do some more shares. We can do it in any order. If you have a testimony, you can give. If you have a share based on all the things we've been talking about, you can share. Praise the Lord. We've already done the intercessions part of the room. So now we leave the rest of the room open for testimonies and shares. Praise the Lord. I know that Sister Veronica was trying to give a testimony at the end of the room yesterday. We didn't have time. And she said she'll give today. So let's see if she's ready to give her testimony. Others, prepare your testimony and your shares as well. Go ahead, Sister Veronica. Good morning. God bless you.
Amen. Good morning, my pastor. Good morning. My mommy Ebo. God bless you all. Good morning. Good afternoon. I have short testimony. It's not to bother you people. My testimony is what is happening when people we have not really go into doing a shobby of a thing since I came to America. This is my first time. Somebody even told me. I said, I don't have a hand in it. I don't want to bother myself. But she prompted me. She supported me different ways. And now we come. This is Ashobi. At the end of everything, I told my people, bring your material. I am the one to bring it to the U.S., bring it to you. Asking them to bring, our own was ready ever since, but those other people were not ready. And I kept bringing other things. Every other thing, I kept bringing them, even some of my stuff, but this one, waiting for people, at the end, we got them. So we could not use the normal way we were using, except DHL. The person promised me it's 3 days. So anyone that asked me, when is this thing coming? The other week, I say Monday. Monday came, nothing. Another day, where has it come? I say, no, it's tomorrow, Tuesday. Tuesday came, and my pastor prayed. And it didn't come. So it was just like, I don't know, I didn't tell him I was waiting for anything. And another thing is that I refuse to be worried. When he comes to my mind, I say, God has done it. Don't worry, he's come, he's on the way. Any time they want me to panic or be worried, I'm not worried, it's in the hands of God. So I was coming, anytime I'm coming home, I look forward, maybe they put it outside. And nobody to receive it. I will look. I'll say, no, if it's there, my husband would have called me. Of a truth, I didn't see anything. That was on Wednesday. I said, it will come. Don't worry. It's come. I would just rebuke that spirit because your mind is your enemy. will be telling me that I say, I am saying, I believe what God says about me. And that's what will happen. So we were in Bible study that they rank by, and I got everything intact, everything. I said, God, yesterday my pastor prayed. I was just on my own. I said, oh my God, this I will tell pastor that what he prayed for, that he came to pass. Praise the Lord. And every other thing, all the logistics concerning this marriage, I already told the Lord, all will come out well as God proposes it. And as the people expect, God will not cut short our expectation. That is the word of the Lord. Now, all this study that I've been going on, the past 2 weeks, 1 week, we have been on this parable. I know Jesus has so many, you know, speaking to his disciples in parables. As the wise will pick it up as the parable comes up. Number one says parable of the new cloths and new wine skins. It's true. I tried it once. My old cloth, when it has something happened to it, and I love it so much. That cloth, anytime I put it on, even when it turned somewhere. Some people, oh, I love it. I say, this, but they cannot see. It's torn. It's like I'm wearing rag. So I try to add another material. Behold, that place pulled out and the hole became wider because I couldn't take it. This is the old one. I say, oh, this is what the Bible is telling us. And how can I get old cloth to match this old cloth? It's not there. So what does that mean? You that is ready for the coming of the Lord, let us continue to have fresh anointing. Don't mingle it with all those stale wine. If you bring stale wine to those, you want to add the new wine to it, it will not work. Remove, flush out everything that is not of God in our lives. So second parable, say parable of the lamp stand. Parable, the third one, parable of the wise and foolish builders. You know, foolish virgins and other one. We know these people that is when people is, they are building, the builders. You have to count the cost that you can stand, you can do it before you put your hand. This is building, or else somewhere you will abandon it. It will go. And people will be wondering, this person started where? What happened? The things of God. You have to know that Holy Spirit is the one that is fueling us. That's why many people believe God for many, many years. It's like they remain stagnant because they don't have Holy Spirit in their life. Not that Holy Spirit makes you to believe that Jesus Christ is God and that, no, Jesus is our Savior. He came to die for us. He's that Holy Spirit that made you to believe. It's not that you don't have Holy Spirit, but you have to have infilling of the Holy Spirit to guide you all the way, to lead us. Some people don't mind. They just go, I'm a Christian. Some don't even, they've not given their life to Christ to say, that's in us prayers. My father is a pastor. They continue. They are in the church for many, many years. I saw on a TV, a pastor well known all over the world, how the child, he has only two sons. One of them were just gradually going to hell. You think, within you, within every one of us, in our eye, we will think our pastor's children. And their mother was very, very great, you know. He's the one even teaching the young women, and even other women benefited from her. Now, this is all this one, they are kingdom mandates. But when he gave his testimony, I was sharing tears. I said, this is how, if not pray for our children, pray for our children is very, very necessary. You would think they are in the right track. Already they missed it out. This is what we need to be doing. This person came out to give testimony how it was different in different courts. The father may not know. And they were doing that with his friend. They thought that's the right way until God touched them. I don't want to mention names. Praise the Lord. Then the parable of, that's number five, the parable of the nymph. Then the other one, the parable of mustard seed, the parable of level bread. They have level bread, the level bread. The parable of hidden treasure, a pear. The parable of 12 virgins. We have the illustration. You know, the truth is you know, when we have all these parables before us, you know how you would position yourself and take all of them as this is the word of God speaking to us. How are we taking it? How are we following it step by step? Is it really what Jesus is saying? And this parable, he said, let the wise hear and take it. It's not you hear it and it fall out. Like those ones, the seed somebody stole, the seed you stole, the seed going out to preach, to minister. Some will fall on the tongues. Some fall on, you know, the best of air. We just come up, pick it up. Then the other ones, you find that there is one that fell on a fertile ground. That one surely will grow. So we will look out for which of them, this fertile ground we are talking about. Each time I minister to people, and I don't know where they are, and even those ones, you know where they are. Is there any follow-up? Because follow-up will make your seed to stand. Follow-up will make your seed to grow. God is the one who ministers to people. You do your best by preaching, by telling people this is what the Bible says. Come out of your sinful way and follow God. But is with prayer, you continue. You don't just leave it like that and leave it to who? That where, how will it grow if you don't follow up that person? In Nigeria, we have bunch of people, I pay so many people, that by the grace of God, through their constant ministration, going back to them, telling them, today they are big, they are grown, and it's like standing on a solid rock. They are not ready to move out. They are not ready to go, no matter what is troubling them, no matter what they hear, no matter what all these things are saying. Praise the Lord. Then what struck me most that I cherish, I want to talk about all these parables that are really, really needful. Is it the mustard seed, how he will grow, how it will grow up? Is it this foolish virgin that they could not store up oil? The oil is anointing. Anointing is what you cannot quickly go and just pick up, go and buy. How? Yeah, you may go out to buy, store up. Where you do not stop in the storehouse, how do you go there and pick it up? Those are the things. So the one I really cherish, I love, is this hidden treasure that speak about in Revelation. I mean, in the book of Matthew 13, verse 44, that said again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, and which when a man had found, he hid it, and for joy thereof, goeth and so selleth all that he had, and buyeth that field. The same thing is applicable to this parable of pear, precious pear, you know. He said the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man, you know, seeking godly pair. It's like that man, you have gone out to work, you have your business doing. That business, which business? In Revelation 12 verse 11, I mean, Romans 12, 11. He said, be fervent, you know, the business of the Lord, do not slack. Don't make it as This is just, we are going to church now. This is just the things of, but when you are going to your work, where you will get dollar or naira, you will not be late. But coming to God's house, you go late. Even when you are there, you have divided attention. You, is it not what pastor always say? He has started it now. I know this from this Bible he quoted. I know it. This, I know where it's going. I know what you want to say. Listen, and you must have one thing that you think I've known before. Because the moment you read the Bible, it's always new. It's always refreshing our mind. You listen to what pastor wants to say. Possibly jot down notes. People don't do that. They have their Bible in their phone. And oftentimes, people admonish. Don't leave your Bible in the phone. Just have your own Bible so that when there is something come to your mind, you can easily mark it. It will be a mark so that all this one that they said, your memory verse, you easily go there and, you know, refer to it. But these days, we don't do that. This is what God is telling us. So, in the Revelation chapter 3, it's only the overcomer that will make it. And this hidden treasure, that I really want to talk about is all these other things that you walk, that you make, that you set your mind on, you know, where is it going to end? Where are we going? The hidden treasure is a kingdom of God. Every other thing we might think we are doing that is very, very important to us, keep them aside and follow the word of God. The word of God is power. The word of God is that which will lead me to eternity. It's not just here. We have benefit here on earth. But if we had those benefits, you are not sick, you are old, 200 years old, and you don't know Jesus, it's a wasted journey. And even when you claim you know Jesus, you are not following it, you don't follow the kingdom mandate, it's still there because all this blessing you think, oh, I want to have money. And the Bible says, Deuteronomy, I'm the head, I'm not the tail. I will go back and read Deuteronomy 28, Deuteronomy 28. There is this mandate. If you do this, if you follow my commandment, I will do this. I will bless you. You will have this. Because the ordinances, God does not break his word. So the kingdom of heaven is hidden inside all these ones, all these blessings that are here. If you get it, fetch it out, that you have to cover it, take it, really treasure, cherish it, that where I want to spend eternity is more than this other place, all these ones that we are pursuing. Early morning, you wake up and, you know, where you have 7 o'clock schedule, you are there. But when it's time to wake, to listen to the word of God, I'm tired today. Let me rest. You are resting, but when it comes to how you make money, you are not resting. I remember when I was in Nigeria, 5 o'clock, I'm already up. Because as you want, as a contractor, if you want the good driver to work for you, you have to be there early, or else someone else to pick your driver. And you meet other ones that are lazy, who are not ready to do the work. Your work will mess up. The owner of the job will not give you job some other time. So I have to wake very early, take up my, you know, everything. I know I'm going to school later. First of all, go and settle that one. Then you see people, and when they talk about community, you know, people coming together to share in the days of apostles. People were telling us that time. All these things. It's a communal. When you have, give those that don't have. I was just laughing. Give those that don't have. You that wake up early morning, you know what you are targeting. You know what you want to do with your money. Then someone else will come. Let us share it equally. So that those who don't have, we give those that have. Oh, yes. Then along the line, many of them will say, come, let me teach you how I'm getting this money.
They will come today, tomorrow they are not able to meet up. It's too early. It's just raining. I couldn't come out. It was raining. You don't have umbrella. You cannot go. But you, after I got the thing, you want to let us share it like the days of Apostle. How does that work? Many people burn their candle in way back home because maybe they were reading certain things. As a medical doctor or whatever career they are carrying, there will be no light. Instead of sleeping, they will be sweating there and using either their lantern or the candle to finish up. You are sleeping, snoring. As if graduated, is working. Is she not a medical doctor? She has the money, doesn't want to give us. How come? Why do you say such a thing? When it was struggling, when it's sometimes we not eat, no time to cook. I want to get this thing. You were busy doing something else. Now you want to come and share it equally because a communal, the Bible says, oh, bring whatever you have, the days of apostle. Apostle, those that do not work, they will come. I know this is one of the things that killed Ananias and Sapphira. You will see all these people that don't work. You want me to bring them? Then you would have been sincere. Is the lie inside that killed him? If you say this is what we sold, though. But I don't want to bring everything. I still need. I need something. I want to pay school fees. I want to do this. I want to do this. This is what I can produce. I can give to the. They may say, no, go and pray God. It's who that will give you what you want. That is clear. Be truthful. But they came with lie. Is that all you sold? Say yes. That's what he died for. But if you look at it, you suffer a lot. Many people now, they are working and schooling, working, schooling. At the end, say, you know, the by the time you give testimony, I am this position of this, then you'll be looking out to that person to carry all the money and let's share it together. How? When we are laboring, you don't let us share together. When I will leave my tipper garage, climb tipper, come down from there, rush to school and teach. I do lesson notes midnight. I don't sleep. You were not there. But now you want to share the money with me. It's okay. If that's what God says, I'll give it to you. So it's not all these ones to teach us lesson. We should not be slothful. We should not be, you know, be lazy. That is the word. Many people are lazy. The things of God, the same thing. We want to go out for evangelism. It's not today, tomorrow. I mean, procrastination is a distraction. The devil bringing distraction, we don't know. We don't want to follow that wicked one for all these things. So, when I look at Revelation 21, Revelation 21 verse 5, let me quickly read that one. I will answer because I don't want to take time. I'm just saying all this parable, how pastor have been saying it, the few ones I wrote down. Even when I'm at work, I will listen and jot down things step by step. But I won't be able to talk anything. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 21 verse 5 and said, he that sat upon the truth said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Yes, the words of the Lord, all these ones we see, they are true. And if you read many to them, you will see that it's really what God wants from us, how God wants us to go. That is why he brought them in a parable. As men that are stent, who have given their life to him, how will we build up our kingdom that is hidden? Bring it out. Know that at the end, the ultimate end is what matters. Not to start where and end it badly like Esther. Esther is that person. I don't want to go into all that one. Let me read that revelation to the end. Revelation 21. I've read verse 5. Verse 6 says, He that say unto me, it is done. Say, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto you that who are thirst of fountain of the water of life freely. God is ready to give it to us. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, this way I want to ask Pastor now. The fearful
the unbelieving, and the abominable, the murderers, the warmongers, the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars, oh, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. My fear. They say the unbelieving. Is this passage pastor talking to unbelievers alone? Is when we pray, prayers, the answer have not come. There will be doubt in our mind. Are we sure that our prayer has been heard? Am I sure now? And you start praying again. I know the other parable where the woman continued to pray and ask, knock, pray all the time, continue to pray until you get an answer. But within our mind, is it that we do not believe? And all those that do not believe, they will find their steps in the lake of fire. And this lie we are talking, I am coming. Like yesterday, I said they will come tomorrow. I didn't speak, but by faith, I'm saying it will come tomorrow. I did not come. Have I told a lie? Or somebody want to paint his mistakes? He will start straightening it up with different things. Yes, you know, it's this. He will put salt and pepper to sweeten it to the person who is explaining it to. Is that the lie? Or is those who really lie against their neighbor that will find themselves in the lake of fire? Because I know lies lie, truth is truth. We have to say the truth all the time. But all these small things that we think it does not matter, how will it be, pastor? Is if it is the unbelieving that we have already believed, they say unbelieving, we find ourselves in the lake of fire. Lord, help us that we will know the right thing to do at the right time. This is just the small thing I want to say. I'm sorry, maybe I've taken your time. Isaiah 65, verse 17 to 19, I know it's there. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. I don't want to go into all that so that someone else will speak. That's my question, and that's my contribution. That's what I heard when this study were going on and on and on. God bless you, my pastor. God bless you. And your word, you have God put in your heart. I always say, the word of God in you and your life, you will not diminish, you continue to grow, you will live flourishing. It's not, he used to be at that pastor when he was talking. You used to hear him, everybody would gather him. But now, I don't know. That's not your portion. You will continue until rapture take place. And the God you serve that you fear will say, well done, my dear son. Because he said, I will not no longer call you servant. You are my son, because servant knoweth not what the master doeth. You are the son of God. We are the sons and daughter of the Most High. The Lord God with fear will tell us, well done. And as we started well by the grace of God, we are going to end it well, this race we are running. We will not enter another person's track. We will run on our track and finish well and finish strong in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I hit my mic here. Good morning again. Good afternoon. God bless you for your patience. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Sister Veronica. You said a lot of things. I'm not sure where to start, but we thank God first for your testimony and thank God for what he's doing concerning the celebrations that you guys are preparing for. So we've been praying along. We prayed again today. We give God the praise and glory. Thank you for your shares on multiple aspects of those parables. Well, the last question, you know, the unbelieving is a class of people who are unbelieving. It's not talking about just because, you know, you doubted in one area or not. You know, they are unbelieving. That's who they are. You know, so that's a class of people. You know, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, well, we have to pray and let the Holy Ghost reveal that to us individually, because you know, lying is one thing that God hates. And, you know, so we should not be loving and we should not be making lies.
You know, the devil is a liar from the beginning, and those who are, you know, part of the devil's camp, they are also all called liars. But I don't think that anybody is going to hell if they repent or anything. And the Holy Ghost has a goal. He will make you repent. If you are the seed of God, he will convict you of anything and everything, and you will repent. You know, so I believe that anybody that is eventually lost, now remember I say eventually, we don't know who's lost right now. All we can do is guess because of what we see. You don't know the end, you know, because they can be saved at the last moment. And the person who thinks they are in, they can also fall away at the last moment. But whoever is eventually lost is because they did not repent. It's that simple. So, you know, just because somebody is caught in a lie or caught in whatever they are doing today, that doesn't mean they are going to hell. They can repent of it. Holy Spirit can convict them. But if we do not repent of whatever it is the Holy Ghost convicts us of, then we've got a big problem on our hands. So, you know, that's all I can say about that. You know, the goal of the Holy Spirit is to make sure the words of Jesus will never fall to the ground. Jesus said, I will lose none of them, but I will raise them up at the last day. The Holy Ghost is going to make sure, you know, because Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost comes, he will take what I have said, take of mine, and we establish it. So he will make sure that I will lose none of its word that Jesus said will come to pass. Will never lose any of his own. Now, they may be going astray or doing the wrong thing or being, you know, stubborn or thick-headed right now. Holy Ghost will break that down. And he will. You know, that's his job. Because so that the words that Jesus said, I will lose none of them, might come to pass. And he will do exactly that. So no believer should be afraid about that. You know, as long as we are walking in the light, Jesus said, I will lose none of them, and I will raise them up at the last day. And if we do whatever is wrong, Holy Ghost will also correct us. And sometimes he may chastise us, but he will do it in a way that we will not be lost. That's guaranteed. Praise the Lord. So thank you for there were some wisdom things you brought out in some of the parables share that you were giving, and this concept about, well, yeah, and I heard you loud and clear. And it is true what you said. Some people like to fold their arms, do nothing, and then just ride on the curtails of, you know, others who work very hard. That's not what the scripture is talking about. You know, because the scripture also says, let him that will not walk, let him not eat. So, got to balance all the scriptures. You can't just, you know, be lazy, want to do anything, and then you want to just come in and reap where nobody, I mean, you've not done anything. That's not going to work. That's abuse of the system. So, and we have to use wisdom and sound judgment and discretion, you know, in handling things, you know. So it is the will of God that, you know, we should, whoever has prospered and have excess should help others. That's the will of God. But it is not the will of God that anyone should be slothful and fold their arms and say there's a lion in the street or it's raining or it's this and that, and they will not do anything. That's not the will of God either. So how do you find a balance? Well, proper teaching and proper instruction is necessary to find the balance. The one that has the, excuse me, the one that has the grace to give, God bless their heart. You know, let them give. You know, Bible say, you know, he that, you know, has the grace to give, let him do it cheerfully. For God loves a cheerful giver. The moment we are trying to give and we're not cheerful, then we become like Ananias and Sapphira. You know, so anyone that has the grace to give, do it cheerfully. And if the Lord reveals to you otherwise, then follow whatever the Lord reveals to you. It's not everybody. I mean, you can't give to everybody. God will put some people in your circles. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, you have a circle of influence. Those might be the people that you impact. Nobody can impact everybody in the world. Yeah, there'll be some people that God will put in your circle. If you do faithfully whatever God has put in your circle to do, then you will be blessed. And but also, you know, we are warned by the scriptures, you know, say, look, do not, you know, say, come again when you already have it. Or when your brother is in need, you say, God bless you. And, you know, we read that in the book of James. But you don't give them those things that are necessary to keep them warm. You know, how is that going to work? That's called faith without works. Again, the scripture says, you know, that we should not withhold good from anyone when it is in the power of our hands to do. I believe you'll find that in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27. Furthermore, the scripture says many things like, you know, we do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. You know, so how do we balance all these things? Well, we need proper instruction. We need proper training on the part of the person that is blessed and have more. Let them use wisdom in helping others so they themselves don't get hurt. You know, that's, we read that. We saw that story, even in the story of the foolish and wise virgins. Sometimes you have to say no. So that's right there. You know, and then let the slothful also get up. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, Jesus said. In the book of the Ephesians, we're told that, and thou, you know, the Lord will give you life. So on the part of the slothful, they are commanded, you know, to arise and get away from their slumber. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. So you see, there are two sides of the coin. Praise the Lord. And whatsoever a man soweth, he will reap. That's also the other side of the coin. If you sow deceit, you want to be deceitful and lie and come to the brethren and make pretense in order to deceive everybody. Well, whatever we sow, we will reap. Even if it is not discerned, they will still reap it. At the same time, you know, those who are good in their hearts to do well, you know, God will also bless them, but we all have to use wisdom. Praise the Lord. All right. That's a very long share. But thank you for sharing. I know you had time today to do that. Praise the Lord. All right. Anybody else?
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, what a morning. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Sarah Veronica and Pastor, for all this admonition and whatever Sister Veronica has said. It's wonderful. Praise God. Thank God that you received your everything that you're expecting from Nigeria. We thank God for that. Glory be to God. Amen. So I just want to talk about the testimony of the Lord. You know, Pastor was talking about testimony today and how our testimony, it's a blessing to the Lord. So, and I was looking at some of the testimony and the things, even in the Bible, the testimony of the of what God did for the people of Israel. God always want them to remember, you know, and testify of what he did for them. And even the ark that was made was the ark of testimony, you know, the ark of testimony in the Bible. I think that's in the, I'm trying to look for it right now. The one of the Lord, that they loved their lives not unto death. And they overcame him by the blood. You read Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So it's so powerful when we testify of the goodness of God and how he has delivered us from the hand of the enemy and not love our lives unto the death. Also in 1 to 6, it says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So there's a testimony of Christ that is in each and every one of us that will be confirmed, even as this was written in the Corinthians. Also in the other one I want to talk about is, it's not coming up. Is this one, the testimony? It said before, but before all this, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, talking about persecution, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons. Even when you are being persecuted, you are delivered into prison. You are being brought before kings and rulers for the name, for the sake, for the name of Jesus Christ. It shall turn to you for a testimony. All those persecution or things that people do to upset you can become a testimony on your behalf. So it's so important that the testimony that we have, we use it to the glory of God. So my own testimony is this. You know, when I had this this health scare that came upon me about a year or two or three ago, and I went in and they said the CT scan showed that there was something in my throat or something, you know, that could have, if it could have been positive for a cancer or something, would have been terrible, would have been made me to go through radiation and this and that. And I didn't even know how, what God delivered me from. So I went in to this ENT doctor that went in and poked into my nose and it bleeded and everything. I was so scared. I was so scared that day. But that doctor is a Christian. So he said, we three of us held hands and we prayed that the result, he took a sample of what he found and sent it to, for testing. And he prayed that, we all pray that this thing will come out negative, that there will not be, it won't be positive for any infection or any cancer or anything. So they took it in, and I think it's my larynx, you know, it was my larynx or something. So they took it in, and they said they will get the result in about 3 days and so on. So meanwhile, we're just praising the Lord, and I just took my mind off of it. I didn't care about it. Then even, I think it was the second day or so, that they called me and said, it was clear, the result was clear, there was nothing there. So, wow, so praise the Lord. We just thank God. Then later on, I was reading some people's testimony online, and they said, somebody said they went through series and series of the other one. So they went through all this gruesome treatment because of that, if that thing turned out to be positive. And I said, what? This is what God delivered me from? That would have been terrible if you have to go through radiation upon radiation upon radiation because of one thing that, you know, that's got stuck in your larynx or something. So I just want to thank God because nothing like that happened. The Lord turned it around. It was negative, and they couldn't even explain it, because actually, from the CT scan, they saw something happening there. And by the time the test went on, the Lord has touched it and cleared everything. So I want to give thanks to God. This is his own testimony. It's not my testimony. Because I said, wow, this is what God delivered me from. Because some people say I went over 40 rounds of radiation. I said, what? This is what God delivered me from. So I just want to thank him for delivering me from that, a particular thing, attack from the enemy. So I just praised his name this morning. I thank him for all that he's doing. And ahead, you know, and all that he has ahead of me. So that's my testimony. And this is the testimony of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I will meet here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lady Ebon, for sharing that testimony. And we thank God for the grace of God that gave you that testimony. And our God is good. One of the things he does best is to heal us, because that's why we call him healer. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. By his stripes, we are healed. So we thank God for that. That's a powerful testimony. And I believe that God who did that will do the rest. Anything else that's any of your concerns, and for everybody that's in this room as well, anytime we have health concerns, Lord will give us the an answer of peace. But we must do our part. Our part is to go to the Lord in prayer and commit it into God's hands and let God be in charge of the process of healing us. And we may use doctors, and we should use doctors. But Jesus said that they are sick, they are the ones that need physicians. But we know that ultimately sometimes the best that doctors can do is to help manage the care. God is a real healer. So while we get help, you know, we should also trust the Lord for our complete healing. And, you know, which brings us to the point which we have discussed in this room multiple times, that people should actually take time to do their health check, you know, from time to time. You know, because, you know, sometimes if you don't know what's going on, then you don't know what to address. Some people don't want to know. Well, you should want to know. If you know it, then you can easily address it. We have a lot of meters in our cars, dashboards that tell us different things, give us different metrics, whether the fuel is running low, whether the battery is running low. Some more sophisticated cars, you know, have even other, they won't tell you your tires. You know, something wrong. But we don't have these monitors that we can look at in our body like that. You know, some of the doctors, they can look into things and help us. But there are some other signs that we can see that happen. You know, sometimes you find you just start having headaches and all kinds of other things. You know, there may be nothing wrong with your head. it might just be a signal for something else. You know, people start, sometimes they have cramps. There may be nothing wrong with their stomach. Sometimes people have ulcers. That may be something else. I mean, there's all kinds of things. This is why we need to take advantage of those who have the technology to help us look inside, you know, to figure it out for us. You know, and look, some people who don't even, in this country, healthcare is very expensive. I know that, you know, but you know, we also have some regulations in this country that, you know, force you to buy auto insurance for your cars. At a minimum, in Arizona and other places, you are required to have liability insurance. You know, even if you don't take care of your car, you must have some kind of insurance, you know, in case you damage somebody else's property or whatever, or hurt somebody else. You know, if we can do all that for cars, about our own bodies, you know. So, you know, some people don't want to spend money on health insurance because it's very expensive, but it is your body. Do what you can to, you know, find out early. Early detection can save a lot of things. You know, I've been around people that, you know, something suddenly happened and they say, oh, we saw them yesterday, you know. You know, some of my, you know, alumni in my high school, they have this platform where we share a lot of things. You know, and occasionally I've read some things there where they were saying, oh, we saw, and some of these people are in Nigeria and so on. I said, well, you know, but we saw them over the weekend. You know, nothing. I mean, nothing, this and that. Then the next day, something happened, and then they suddenly gave up the ghost. Well, I guarantee you, it wasn't nothing. There was something
It's just that they were not checking it out. You know, I mean, these things don't just happen suddenly. Some things that creep up inside of people, they carry them around for years. You know, maybe at first they don't, you know, present, you know, anything, but sometime it may. And if we're not on top of it, then by the time you figure it out, you find out it's a little more chronic than if you had dealt with it at the beginning. It's kind of like weed, you know, in your, if you have own a house and you have side yard, front yard, backyard, when the little weed is happening and you don't deal with it, eventually the place may be all grown up with weed. And it's so difficult when it's all grown up. You know, yeah, it may be a little painful to have to deal with the weed all the time, but I do that in my house because I don't want to deal with, you know, every day or a few days I'm out there picking the weed and so forth. So every time I look, my yard is looking good. But there was a time that I didn't do it. I waited, you know, I just wouldn't do it. And then the thing was all grown over and it was so hard to get rid of that weed. It's a lot easier when it's still tiny here and there. So same thing with our healthcare. Take care of it when it's still little. And you may not know, if you're not a doctor or you're not in the medical field, you may not know the signs. So get help. Those who can read the signs, because we don't have any dashboard for our body that can tell us. So get help from those who can read the signs and tell you. And then let's deal with it before something bad happens. But ultimately, let's trust the Lord for his grace. Praise the Lord. All right. Good testimony and good shares all around today. Anyone else? Praise the Lord.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, ma'am. Good morning, everyone. And good afternoon to those in the afternoon period. The parables and how do they affect me today? That has been my consideration during the seasons when we were treating these parables. I'm hearing the word of God, but how do they affect me? And how can I change or be cultured, be tempered by the Spirit of the Lord through the word I'm hearing? A couple of scriptures or some of those parables that came really straight at me. I'll pick a few of them. Mark 3:23-27. It talked about Satan casting out Satan. Verse 23, and he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? Verse 25, and if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Two lessons jumped out to me in this short bit. The first one was a house divided against itself. And my mind went back to the case of Jacob and Esau, where Jacob stole, through the connivance of his mom, stole Esau's blessings from the father. Yes, a couple of things came up. We have a sort of acrimony. We had issues where Jacob has to run. And we had issues where Jacob had to wrestle with the Lord. And God cleaned him out. And this particular aspect really came to me. Individually, is there any way that I am not doing it right in the home? Possibly a child felt more loved than the other. Possibly we tend to pamper one more than the other. and some other bits. And these are things that I looked at and got me thinking. The other bit is in verse 27, which says, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. One slot that I watched, I realized that it was really Christian Awake. Christian Awake. It was a slot that a sister made me to watch. And it was so real. You find a child of God, she was untouchable because her prayer life and her study life of the word was good and perfect. There is the particular slot, so many instances the devil wants to take her. And then what came up? The spirit of distraction, the spirit of slothfulness, the spirit of excuses were sent out on errand by the devil. And then the particular sister got lazy. Just like Mommy Veronica said this morning, the lady got lazy, got excuses. Yes, she has containers to be cleared at the port and different things. And the devil sent out people to try to discourage her from having the same quality time in praying and in studying the word. And then in the spiritual realm, we find that the door to our life, especially our spiritual life, was opened by the devil. And she started suffering. And while they were trying to cast that particular, a Christian sister was always interceding. The Holy Spirit would tell the sister, go forth, go and intercede. Go and talk to that lady. And there was two different levels that the devil went to try to discourage this sister. But the Holy Spirit, because she is submissive to the Holy Spirit, because she is submissive to the Holy Spirit, she was able to obey. She went through ups and downs, but she was able to obey. And while they were trying to cast out these devils, I saw them binding up together. Binding up together. And that should teach us, children of God, that we need to bind together in the spiritual, in the spirit, to fight the devil on behalf of one another. And in this particular case, the strong man in that home were those evil spirits that came upon the lady. But the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, with this sister interceding, was able to cast them all out. And they sauntered out of our home. And the fact that we also need to know how to stand. The devil, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from thee. Resistance takes some force. And it's not easy. And that is why sometimes when we feel weak, we can lend out our hand and ask our brethren, join me in prayers. And the devil will definitely run out. Now the second parable that came to me was that of two sons, who the father says, go walk today in my vineyard. Matthew 21:28-32. But what think ye, a certain man had two sons, and certain man, and he came to the first and said, go walk today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Then verse 31. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They said unto him the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Now the question is, because like I said, I want to look at the mirror of the word of God. What is our level of obedience? What is our level of obedience? And God made me to tie it up to those parables in Matthew 13, the sower. The son said, I will go, but didn't go. And also, the one among the tongues, the one that through persecution or whatever, got him to leave what he believed. A particular group took it with joy. They were happy. But the question is, did they have a root in them? And the same thing is for each and every one of us. When we go wrong, do we repent and get back? Or do we run away? Those are some of the questions I ask. Sometimes we don't do it right. The Spirit of the Lord convicts us. We give excuses sometimes, but the question is, do we go back? And that is part of the things that jumped at me at this. The third parable that God gave me, and which I would say was the one in Luke 15, 11 to 32. I'm not going to read the whole lot. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living, the whole lot. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a group tending swine. Now in this particular case, verse 18, he realized his folly, and he said, verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Repentance. That's another one that God rubbed into my heart. Repentance. Rather than making excuses, do we make a U-turn? And then the father, he went back to the father, he presented himself, and the father killed the fathers of the calf. The first thing that God showed me was the elder son was in the field, and he came in. And he heard that the father was getting merry, music, dancing. He has killed the fattest cow for the prodigal son. And he got angry. And the question is, first, the senior brother did not realize that the father divided everything into two. He did not realize that that portion that is left is his own. That is one thing that God brought to me. If he had realized it, he will know that just a drop in the bucket is what the Father had sacrificed out of his own for his junior brother. And the other bit is the fact that he was angry. He stood outside, he wouldn't come in. And the Father has to go out to entreat him, saying that, now explaining to him that all that is left is his own. Some of the times, we don't recognize our position, what the Lord had given us. And sometimes we allow the devil to pounce on us, to treat us shabbily, because we don't recognize what the Lord has given us. When there are promises, except we know it is for us, we might not be able to claim, to take, and to confess these promises. And that is one thing that God showed me about this, and the need for us to know our position in Christ Jesus. The last parable that God brought to me was there in Matthew 18:23-35. A king who was taking stock of his servants and then realized that one was owing him heavily. And then the norm with kings, they have the power. He said, okay, for me to get back my money, I'm going to sell you, trade you as slaves, and all that belongs to you. And the servant said, Lord, forgive me. Please, I will pay you all that I owe you. Everything, just give me time. I will pay you. And because the father, that master, was a compassionate one, he forgave. And forgave that debt. But the servant saw someone who owed him just 100 pence, which is possibly 1/1,000 of what was out there. And what did he do? He held this one by the truth and cast him into prison. And the others have to report him. And all that he had been forgiven were given back to him. And the master was so wroth with him and took him now into prison. The areas where the Lord showed me was the aspect of our ego. And just like Sister Patricia mentioned a couple of things that particular day that we discussed this. Forgiveness, bitterness. Yes, I have one ongoing now. Raw, it looks raw and bitter and painful. Especially when you are doing your utmost best and someone kicking you in the face and hurting you. And it looks painful. But that particular day when we treated this, God reminded me. He reminded me and then reminded me of that slot, the clip that Pastor Yato sent. A man preaching in the bus, and due to his attitude, the one that was abusing him has to come to the Lord. And God reminded me too of the word in Matthew 5, where he says, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. And God made me, that particular day we treated this, that it is simply the ego. My ego, the pride. Yes, it hurts, no doubt. but now coming down. And God has been helping me. Deep in my heart, I was just saying, Lord, I forgive. I forgive. But one thing that I have seen is that the devil still makes this same man, rather than him coming down, finding every other means of hurting, continuous hurting. It's at the workplace. And all I can say is just, Lord, help me. Those things can be really raw, painful, bitter to the taste. But the Lord and His grace and the Holy Spirit is more than able to take us through. And that is the area that the Lord dealt with me more. This particular one dealt with me more because I was seeking His grace. I was seeking His ability in getting through in this. And I give Him grace also for all that He's doing in us, in cleaning us up. I also have a testimony. For about 2 weeks, I couldn't understand it. I picked up flu. Unlike me, because I take a lot of vegetables raw, as well as fruits. So I wasn't expecting that I won't be able to cope. I don't usually have cold. But this particular one, it was so bad. For about 2-3 weeks, and I was like wondering, what is it? I had sore throat, I had cold, I had cough. And I was like struggling with it, what is it? I prayed, and I remember some of the times prayers were made for me on Pastor Talks, because early hours of the mornings is worse, and I'll be coughing, and while we're praying. And I just give God all the glory that even where I felt, yes, sometimes we look as if we are strong, but the Lord is the strong one in us. And I give Him the glory because He healed me. He took it out and He healed me. And He gave me the grace to have a testimony, and I worship His holy name. And also, as the last note, we have my dear sister Pearl on Grand. We wish you before. We've prayed for you, and the birthday song has been sung. I want to wish you a beautiful and prosperous new year. Seasons of blessing, health, strength, and ability. For this new year you are entering into, the Lord will bless the work of your hand. God bless us all, and thank you, everyone. God bless us all.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Mary. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your shares. You went into some of those, obscure parables which we didn't delve too much into, some we delve into. Thank you for calling out all those lessons that God was showing you there. Praise the Lord.